You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Welcome to Contemporary Classics, a show featuring concert music exclusively by 20th and 21st century composers. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Some of this music will be by composers whose names may be unfamiliar to you, and some of the music will be by much more recognizable names in contemporary composition. Some of the music may shock you, but I think many of you will be surprised to find out how much music by contemporary composers is immensely enjoyable. The whole purpose of this show is to demonstrate the wide variety of contemporary classical music that is available and to bring my joy of contemporary classical music listening to you. As always, our opening theme music is from the work Nocturne by Kirsten Volness.
In this hour of tonight's Contemporary Classics, I'm talking with Scott Bolschlager about his new work, Lost Anthems. This piece was written for Leahua Lanzalotti and is performed by Leahua Lanzalotti Viola and David Kaplan Piano, and was released on New Focus Recordings on October 3rd. Welcome back to Contemporary Classics, Scott Bolschlager.
Thank you. Great to be here.
As you know, I listened all the way through it and sort of noted different unique sections. Then I went back to read the materials. That was the mistake, because you specifically said there were 15 unique different segments in the piece. And then I went back and said, wait, I don't have 15 segments. So I sort of started rethinking how the sound could differ and how I could separate the segments. Well, we'll just go through it. And you can tell me where this is. This is a very, very interesting piece. This is part of a series of commissions that Leahua is doing, it sounds like.
That's right. So she had a project called the 2019 Project, and it was modeled off of a set of viola works that were composed in 1919, the 1919 Project. It commissioned three very well-known viola sonatas, and Leahua wanted, in the spirit of viola rep generating idea, wanted to commission three contemporary composers to write for viola. And my memory serves me correctly, Leahua gave us the option to write something solo or something with piano. So the other two composers, Andrew Norman, wrote a piece with viola and piano, and then Anna Thorsvaldsdottir wrote a piece for solo viola, and that's called Sola. And so those two pieces were released sometime during the last 3 years. And then mine just came out, even though the piece actually was written a couple years ago and was just derailed from because of COVID. And Leahua lives in Hawaii, ended up, having to keep postponing it. And finally, we were able to record it last spring. And then it came out just this year. And luckily, it's one of my favorite pieces I've written, and every time I hear it, I'm always very proud of the piece, and I feel like it's maybe one of my top 10 works that I if I was to die today, I can say, well, at least I wrote Lost Anthems. I think it's a strong piece, but it's also so strong because of the way Leahua and David are performing it on the album that they just, essentially they're realizing what I wrote in the score, but it's so vivid and tight and exact what you're hearing that it's like, it's quite striking. The way it was composed was not necessarily linear. I don't ever write, from start to end. And what I was doing was writing these sort of like sections that at the time I very much thought of them as a kind of song where the viola was usually the main voice, and then the piano is sort of, supporting the viola. And it sort of took shape. I mean, the piece, I mean, I worked on it, probably over the course of almost, about a year and a half, and there was a lot of workshops, and the original version of it was almost twice as long as this version. And it was just a combination of being too demanding, and also like the piece didn't need to be twice as long. And so it probably originally had like 30 sections. So there's truly actually is a lost anthems in out there, and somewhere on my bookshelf. But yeah, so each section is like a song, and the song character of the songs kind of varies between the sort of maybe I guess you would kind of say like an aggressive kind of wonky, funky song versus a kind of tender, gentle song. And those two sort of characters, contrasting characters, of aggression and tenderness, sort of play out through the 25 minutes. And then the piece ends actually on the tender side, which was at the time I put the double bar. I was like, I guess this is like where it should end. But now I hear it. I'm like, oh, that's a wonderful ending that it ends in this kind of very sweet way. And the songs, they come back. They keep coming back, and they're marked by the interval of a minor seventh interval, bom bom. So that sort of motive is what you hear in some form or another in each song. And there's almost a, if I can get nerdy here, the piece is in sort of an A flat, Mixolydian or an E flat major tonality. And throughout the piece, it never really fully realizes that tonal center until the very last section, which essentially is a solo viola moment, where you hear her basically completing the pitches that would make up a kind of E flat major tonality. So yeah, it ends sort of on a sweet note, in my opinion, but it begins on a very different note where it begins, quite aggressive and intense.
Yeah, and there was some reference to having these songs sort of bring people together.
So in this piece, I imagine sort of this world that was sort of haunted by that, would have brought people together, but we're sort of in this post-human world now where there's no people left. But since we are listening to it as people in this moment in time, it maybe does have the effect of bringing people together. Because also the idea of the anthem is inherently a social song. There's a singing-like quality to each of these sections where you, maybe hum a fragment or two, and that humming that we could all share together would be sort of, the anthem aspect of the piece.
In this hour of tonight's Contemporary Classics, I'm talking with Scott Wahlschläger. It begins with a piano chord and a high drone on the viola that are sort of allowed to decay and get quieter. And then we get into this section where you have a lot of sounds like viola double stops, sort of like double stop drone, and then a rhythmic piano, sort of as a percussive instrument.
Yes.
And that has a decrescendo at the end, with a series of very high notes in the viola and piano, and a very high tremolo in the piano, but it's very, very quiet.
That's so the opening section, that opening chord, I think it appears, I think only twice in the whole piece. And it's kind of a very Stravinsky logic. This is the advice I give to any composers. Like how you start your piece should be very striking. Nothing's worse, in my opinion, than the piece that like fades in or something, where it's like, oh, it's sparse, it's getting more things happening, and oh, now the piece happening. There's something to me about you just land in this world, like right out the door, like the same way in a theater production, the curtains open and boom, you're in the world of the play now. There's not like a build up to the curtains opening or something, and so that opening chord is a. Basically, it's a very awkward but unusual spacing of the sort of A flat major tonality that is realized later in the piece. And the piano is prepared. Maybe, I don't know, five or six preparations. It's a very minimal amount of preparations, but each preparation, and this is also how the structure of the piece actually works, is that the piano preparations themselves sort of mark a zone of sound that also mark the sections. So you could basically map out like, oh, it has this kind of piano preparation is in this section. So the piano preparations, in a sense, are a map of the structure of the piece. So what you're hearing in the beginning is these low notes, which have like a putty or a rubber stopper that you would use for like tuning the piano. And I forget which one we ended up using in the recording, but they both basically have the same effect depending on what piano you're on. And then the top part of the piano, he's actually strumming the strings with a guitar pick. And of course, when you drag the pick across the three strings that are in that register of the piano, you get this sort of almost sound that's very not Western sounding. It's almost like the zither or something. And then what Lele Hu is playing in the viola is a kind of, quote unquote, like overtone singing, where she's essentially fingering the low C sharp on her viola. So that's basically the one of the lower notes you get on the viola. And she's allowing her bow pressure of her right hand to let certain overtones come out, where you get this, essentially it's a multiphonic you're hearing in the viola. So it's this saturation of viola sound, but it's a drone. So right, so it's just one tone for maybe like a minute, I think, or close to a minute, and just that drone hovering over this very active piano. Where, yeah, in the bass of the piano, yeah, you're hearing this like dum 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 because of the thud. So you really don't hear the pitch, you hear the thud. And it ends up making a really great opening, I think, to the piece, because it's so, here we go. We're in the piece. Hang on, it's going to be a ride.
And then following this sort of quiet tremolo type feel on the viola, and this is about 2 minutes in, you get this really fortissimo, irregular rhythm with high and low notes, sort of scratch bowing for the piano chords.
Yes, that tremolo in the viola, by the way, that tremolo also is the motive of the anthem. With it is that minor seventh motive is what she's playing, and in the score it actually says the marking is driving, but in the distance. So it's as if you're viewing that tremolo from very far away. It's kind of this echo of what's to come in the piece. So then it launches into sort of the first, section. It's almost like a waltz feeling in a sense, where it's very rhythmically complex. I think Lost Anthems probably is one of the most rhythmically complicated works I've written. So much so that when after I wrote it, I was like, I don't know if I could do this again, because when I was writing it, I was so mentally in it that it was easy to have this sort of complex language. But then months later, after I hadn't thought of it, I was like, man, this is really hard to get your head around if you're not me living in this space. But I heard the section where you have the low piano with the high note, and this viola is kind of doing this, like, almost like a frog sound. Described in a review I got recently, it said, it was trying to lasso a bull or like a wild animal. The wild animal is the viola sound, and the piano is trying to lasso that in. And essentially, yeah, it is just sort of a low note, high note motive in the piano, but it's always so displaced in the most kind of funky and awkward way that it's a very unstable feeling. But that makes it kind of enjoyable too, because you're like, where's the downbeat? Are they supposed to be together? And it's kind of a unwieldy energy to that section, but that's very intentional, that it sounds completely off kilter. But then, of course, in the next section, it locks in immediately. So they were playing together the whole time, just in a very funky way.
Yeah, awkward. That's a word that really resonates in terms of this sort of irregular rhythm.
Yeah.
And then the change to sort of a more regular, a higher frequency.
Yes, right.
And then you have this really interesting high piano chords, and it almost sounds like hand muted, but it was probably the prepared piano.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's a thud,
Thud, right.
a tone. And a thud, and a tone, and a thud.
Yeah, the piano preparations are super integral in the piece, and there are basically the thuds are just muted notes with putty or the rubber stoppers. And what ends up happening acoustically is when you have like muted notes and you have the piano pedal down, is you get the initial like dunk, but then there's this really wonderful resonance that you get of the whole piano picking up that thud, and it's like a, it's almost this like kind of sound. So it's quite a transparent sound, but it's also then it allows the viola to sort of like be front and center too. So it's, yeah, it's very, very striking, and it kind of gives it a more of an aggressive feeling that you wouldn't get necessarily in a Brahms piece, even though Brahms, is equally aggressive in its own way.
And this aggressive section continues with these sort of interspersed rapid tremolos.
Yes, exactly. And so the viola, what's happening here is the viola is doing these very fast, like da 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 da, kind of three note pattern in different orders of the three notes. And she's moving her bow from a kind of ordinary playing position to sol ponticello, which would be moving the bow towards the bridge, and where you then get higher overtones, or the bow moves towards her fingers, where then you get this more like woofy woo-woo kind of overtone structure. And so she's moving her bow, but it's also being guided by the piano, which is playing harmonics in the low strings. And that's done by literally the pianist is touching the inside of the piano strings lightly at different places. And then, strikes with the right hand on the keys as normal playing, and you get this wonderfully, they're very dissonant tone cluster harmonics. So you get this almost like a scream effect. And that sound that the piano makes with those piano harmonics, in a sense, triggers the viola's bow direction. So it's as if the piano's harmonics will then be the after effect is heard in the timbre of the viola. So the viola and piano end up being coupled together with these extended techniques. And I think it's a great effect, and I'll probably use it in many more times, because also for them as performers is interesting, because as the violist has to kind of listen to the piano and do the thing, and then she's reacting to it with, okay, now I move the bow in a different position to bring out different overtone structure. And so it's a really interactive way to play together. And of course, it's rhythmically tricky too, because the downbeats are not always obvious. That's basically how this next section is structured, around piano harmonics, then with the or viola playing very quick notes with different timbres.
And then it gets very quiet. And you have this very quiet bowing with muted piano chords along with regular piano chords. And then you have these sustained notes and then tremolo with high notes on the viola. Very occasionally there's a pitch.
Right.
And then you have sort of either very light bowing or maybe sol tosto bowing,
Yes.
light, airy effect.
This section, the tempo marking is song is quarter note equals 90. So, like, this was very much, I think, one of the first sort of so-called, like, quote unquote, song sections. Yeah, I mean, it's a stretch to call it a song, but technically, no classical piece without voice should be called a song. So, I think I'm taking the liberty of calling it a song in quotes here. But so this is sort of the first tender section where, yeah, you get this sort of low cluster. It's essentially a D flat major sound in the piano, and the viola is now playing that minor seventh motive, but in different ways. Yeah, there's pits, and then she plays it with a regular note plus a harmonic note that makes this sort of very fragile, interval sound. But it's all inside of the piano, that the piano's cluster. It's a D flat major scale, essentially played in a low register, and you can't really tell what, I don't think you'd be like, well, that's D flat major, but it's basically a low cluster that makes this blurry sound that the viola then sort of sings out of the piano's resonance. And this is also the section that comes back, the most obvious coming back throughout the piece. And literally, the piece ends with a variation of this section.
In this hour of tonight's Contemporary Classics, I'm talking with Scott Wolschläger. And then that's followed by this little bit louder section. And you have this alternating between high and low. This is not the intensity that we heard before.
Right.
but it's a little bit more intense than the hymn-like sessions.
Right, exactly. So this section is, it's actually marked ecstatic equals quarter note equals 95. And the viola is playing in a very high register, and she's playing a very noodly microtonal melody. And the piano is basically doing something similar to what it was doing earlier when that kind of wonky section was happening. We got low chord and then the high chord. And it harkens back to that section, but it's basically a new vibe and maybe feels a little more stable than the first, even though it's still pretty like funky sounding. And you know, this section is interesting because the piano is playing a mixture of prepared notes with regular notes. And so the harmony in the piano almost sounds, oh yeah, like, you know, vaguely familiar and some sort of familiar with contemporary music. But the preparations of, there's like a screw in one of the notes. And when you have a screw between the strings on a piano, you end up getting almost like a gong like sound. And so that kind of gong sound is mixed into the piano chords. And it makes for a really interesting kind of harmonic background.
And then there's this interesting section where it's the piano alone with these sort of chords and like a chime.
Yes.
And again, maybe we're between the hymns, but it's really the sort of chiming.
Yes. And so, yeah, the piano, if you're speaking, are you speaking of the section where it's playing the same chord over and over again? Yeah. So this is sort of like, I guess you would say the middle of the piece. And that chord, I wish I could show you a diagram of how you play it in the piano, because it's actually like a real tongue twister of a fingering to get the, it's like a cluster, but you have to have a very funky, awkward hand to do it. And yeah, so this like is one of these sections where the viola material slowly disappears, and the piano is has settled on that chord, and it's kind of a cluster. Essentially, it's like a C Dorian scale, but it's all the notes are present, and it's, you know, it just, it doesn't sound like a Dorian scale, but it has a kind of C minor flavor to it. And you know, just the way this is, again, talking about how I let the piece kind of guide me, where I think it plays the chord like, I don't know, like 20 times or something by itself, and no viola. And it's, you know, it's tricky for the pianist, because if you saw it in the score, the meters are quite all over the place, where it's, you know, going between 3/8, 3/2, 7/16, but he's just playing one single chord, so you'd almost hear it as just like downbeat, you know, downbeat. But good luck trying to count the beats between each chord, because it's, so it's kind of almost like a Morton Feldman technique of displacing a sound in time. But you know, that chord, I think it was such a beautiful chord that I was like, how many times can you play this chord over and over again before it sounds unwanted? But it turns out you can play that chord quite a bit, and it kind of focuses the listening into a new realm in the piece. And so that's why it's like in the middle of the piece, is that it, I think on our journey through the piece, it's like we're going into a deeper part of the piece now. And that chord sort of guides your ears into being like, wow, we're going to get into the sort of more, you know, a new world now.
Well, and that new world comes after the chiming that sort of continues, and we then have the viola playing very consonantly along with it.
Yes.
The new world comes where these sort of ominous low chords alternating with high chords.
So this is sort of, I guess you'd say, the darkest part of the piece. And it maybe also in some senses like the, I don't want to say sad, but it, you know, it has sort of a melancholy vibe. And I'm looking at the score right now, and I'm trying to remember what I even was thinking when I was writing this. But I think this is an, again, another section where I just let my ear guide me, because I don't think I would ever, there's no way I could have like pre-planned this kind of music. It had to very much flow out of a moment of my, you know, relation to the sound or something. And it's, you know, it breathes very naturally. But again, if you were to count the rhythmic grid behind this, these sounds is quite complicated. But what you end up hearing is very delicate, kind of slow moving music, even though they're counting very frenetically in some sense to place their sounds in the right place.
And that leads then into this quiet piano with a muted low chord and then an ascending melody with the right hand. And the pitch becomes much brighter. The sound becomes much brighter.
Yes.
This light bowing in the viola that gives it a sort of aerial feel.
Yes.
And then again, with a series of upward notes in the viola.
Yeah, so this section is sort of a continuation of the section I was saying before, but the piano now has added more notes to the harmony. Specifically, it has added like an A flat into the, so before where you had this sort of C Dorian, sorry for being nerdy here. The pitch is A natural as part of the pitch collection of the C Dorian pitch collection. And now this section, the piano now plays an A flat. So in a sense, you get a quote unquote like modulation happening in the harmony, but it's far from tonal thinking that it's almost like a shift in color than it is a shift, you know, harmonic progression or something.
And using the word color, that to me is sort of the underlying theme of the entire work, is these constantly changing colors.
I'm sure I spoke about this in one of our other interviews, but so I have a thing called synesthesia where I have an association with sound or pitches or timbres and color, like a literal color. And it's a somewhat abstract way. It's hard to describe it to people who don't have synesthesia, but essentially, I use my synesthesia as a way to compose. And I think in Lost Anthems, very much each section elicited a different color in my synesthesic thinking. And so in some sense, when you're hearing the different sections, you're also hearing kind of the different colors that I perceive happening in the music. And, you know, I don't usually talk so much about my synesthesia because I, you know, it's people that don't have it are like, I don't get it. Why is C yellow or whatever? And I mean, I should also say that not all music or sounds give me a sense of color. And so I'm able to kind of determine, okay, like this section works kind of based on how vivid the color is appearing to me. You know, I'm like, wow, this is a really, you know, this is white with some light green in it or something. And it's like, well, this is, you know, so when I'm, it's almost a memory tool too. So when I'm thinking of the piece, when I'm writing it and trying to going through the different sections in my head, when you're writing a 25-minute long piece, you know, if you start from the beginning and then go to the end, if you do that 4 times a day, you're basically like out of time because it took you 3 hours to, in your head. So I think in some sense, the color memory of that color section is a way for me to go through the piece in my own mind outside of musical time and to do it in a different kind of time, like color time. So far, it seems to work as a technique for writing my music. And I, you know, I hope I don't lose that sense, but yeah. And so, but, you know, but then I do correlate it with having actual distinct timbre colors. And so it's really important. And this work has it demonstrated quite well, where each part or section of the piece is using, like I said, the piano preparations themselves kind of are, those preparations are only used in certain sections so that you're getting that piano preparation zone, which gives you color. And then the viola will have some sort of extended technique that contributes to the color character of it. And then on top of that, you have the sort of harmonic color. So you got the color coming from the harmony and the color coming from the timbre. And returning to what we were saying about difference and distinct, you know, contrasting sections, the quote unquote color in all senses of the word, like, you know, timbre color, my synesthesia color, harmonic color, those differences are how I structure the music itself.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the Junior American Traditions Competition Finals on Sunday, December 7th at 5:30 p.m. at District Live in the Plant Riverside District, 400 West River Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. Hilton Head's band Falderall, with vocalist Candace Ray, will be performing at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah on Troop Square from 3 to 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 16th. Falderall blends early 20th century flair with jazzy covers of 70s to 90s pop. A wine and cheese reception follows. More information and tickets are available at falderallconcertuucs.eventbrite.com. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Contemporary Classics. I'm your host, Dave Lake.
In this hour of tonight's Contemporary Classics, I'm talking with Scott Bolschlager about his new work, Lost Anthems. This piece was written for Leahua Lanzalotti and is performed by Leahua Lanzalotti Viola and David Kaplan Piano, and was released on New Focus Recordings on October 3rd. And then we move into what I'm calling the ending section. It's really the one or more final hymns that sort of lead then to the final chords that you described earlier with the solo viola.
And so in some sense, this is where I guess in kind of classical speak, we're hinting now at the exit sign. The piece is coming to an end, but it's as if you're seeing the end from very far down the road. And we've, you know, traveled through this many sections, and then we come up over a hill, and then, oh, that's where we're heading this way now. And like, I think this is where the ending is sort of being hinted at.
And then, as you mentioned, the very, very light viola ending, it just sort of brings the piece to a conclusion.
And this was, a very sort of tender moment where, yeah, the piano sort of thins out from its previous material, and the viola is now just playing a sort of fragmented song with various kinds of high notes and harmonics. I always found it to be quite a moving ending. You know, every time I've heard it in performance, I'm like, it's such a tender ending to such a wild ride. And I guess in some sense, there's a hint of nostalgia that maybe one would feel at the ending here, but it was appropriate in a sense to end the piece with viola, because Leahua is the violist who commissioned the work, and we've worked together on many other pieces. And as musicians, we've shared a lot of great thoughts together, because she's also a very brilliant person. And as I think in some way, she understood the character of the ending because she knows me. And so in some sense, the tenderness you're hearing is friendship at the end.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
This hour of tonight's Contemporary Classics, I've been talking with Scott Walsh-Schlager about his new work, Lost Anthems. And again, as we've talked about, as we've gone through the piece, this was written for Leahua Lanzalotti as part of a series of commissions that she did. And this is performed by Leahua Lanzalotti Viola and David Kaplan Piano. And it was released on New Focus Recordings back on October 3rd. And I want to thank you, Scott, so very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.